to the Snap UK, another Fredbear episode this week. Just me and Jim. This with Paul busy, Gary working, and Michael
literally AWOL. Missing in action.
Yeah, AWOL.
We don't know where he is. So if anyone's seen him, then can you let us know?
Yeah. But let's. Well, we hope you've all had a great Christmas, and we are here to break the bit between Christmas and New Year.
Yeah, the bit where no one knows what day it is or whether it's all right to start drinking at 10:30 a.m.
It is.
I'm sure
it is. It is, but
for the record, I haven't been today. Not yet.
I haven't. No, I've not. No, I've been pretty good lately. But anyway, let's start with. Because the regular season has now ended.
All done. 17 weeks in the book.
Lovely. Well, should we start with your team, the 49ers, who beat the Seahawks 26-21. And you are now number one seed?
Number one seed in the NFC.
So everything in the NFC should have to go via...
Technically, you know, providing they win one match, then it should all go via... I was about to say Candlestick Park. There, it's not now, is
no,
it?
No,
Levi Stadium.
Levi Stadium. It's not actually San Francisco.
Santa Clara.
Santa Clara. Same difference. But yeah, I haven't seen much of this game. I've only seen highlights because it was late.
I stayed up and watched it, so I'll take the lead here. I guess I don't tend to enjoy watching my teams play any type of sport because I get far too passionately involved in it. And that can certainly be said for the 49ers this year through most of their games, but certainly last night. 26-21. And really, I mean, the whole game came down to the very last drive of the Seahawks with rookie linebacker Dre Greenlaw stopped tight end Hollister with maybe the ball 2-3 inches away from the goal line, if that. It was proper heart-in-mouth moment, and probably if I hadn't been drinking so much, I might have had a heart attack because, you know, the alcohol obviously kind of soothed those nerves. But generally, I mean, it was a really fun game. I said to you earlier, actually, it wasn't one of those games which dragged. I literally, at one point, looked down at the clock, and it was 3:30, and I didn't realise that. I was completely absorbed in the game. The first half, 49ers offense and defense both played very well. Went into the half with a 13-0 lead after stopping Seahawks on a fourth and goal, just kind of nil them out for the half. And then the second half, the 49ers defense didn't really turn up until the very last drive. They had real problems getting the Seahawks off the field on third down. I think at one stage, the Seahawks were 6-for-6 on third down conversions. But then on the flip side, the offense just kept firing. Every time the Seahawks scored, the 49ers came out. Jimmy G was doing his stuff. The running game was firing all cylinders. And it just looked like it was quite easy for them to go down the field and score points.
Well, it's good because I know last week's episode, I was really worried because I was like, they've got to win. You need the bye.
Definitely, yeah.
And
week four, I think.
Week four was
your
bye. And you seem to have been sort of not struggling, but you weren't the team that you were before.
No, I guess the Ravens, I think, have been probably the cream of the crop across the whole NFL. And there's some games they've had where they've just walked it. And the game's been over after, you know, midway through the second quarter, and you know what's going to happen. I think there's only been a couple of games that the 49ers have done that, probably the game against Green Bay, sorry, Dunk, and maybe kind of the game against the Bengals. All the other games have been slight slogs, but we've had a real tough, the last six weeks have been really tough, and I think now the 49ers will go into the playoffs as a real battle-hardened team.
I think that's really good, though. And I was saying, I generally have been watching more games this year rather than
continual red zone.
And they've generally been 49ers based, and they've been a lot of fun. But that is probably an indication of the fact you're playing good teams because, you know, you haven't played a Miami, you had played the Bengals, but
early on in the season.
You know, the schedule lately has been horrific. So to come out with number one seed is impressive, really impressive.
Think about it. I mean, last year we were 4-12 last year. A lot of that was because of Jimmy Garoppolo's injury. And you think of a lot of the games we lost last year were within one score. So it was always a question if they could stay fit. There was a lot of potential going into this year, and I think they've realised that potential. I think I'm happiest for kind of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, because they had a bit of a... I think kind of some fans were starting to get a bit anxious about whether this was the right duo. You know, 2 years, two losing seasons, you know, very high picks in the drafts, which haven't really been paid off. But, you know, Nick Bosa coming into the team has really invigorated that defensive line. He didn't have a sack yesterday, but he was in Russell Wilson's face the whole game. I think he had 11 pressures on the quarterback, which is tied with JJ Watt for season highest.
I think they only had one sack the week before, but every time the quarterback's under pressure, you know. It's a stat, but I don't think it's meaningful.
No. And I will say, like, Russell Wilson played a brilliant game.
Yeah.
Like, he sensed that pressure, and the amount of times he stepped up into the pocket, moved away from it, either took a couple of yards run or just got a pass off. You know, he threw to Tyler Lockett on so many occasions. Tyler Lockett had 6 receptions for 51 yards. But those receptions and those yards often came on a big third down or a second down or even a fourth down as well, when it really, really mattered. He was looking for Lockett, and Lockett was a safe pair of hands.
Yeah, and a lovely throw to Metcalf for the touchdown. Yeah. I'm quite impressed with Metcalf.
The commentators were really bigging him up and saying how, you know, he's going to be a top receiver for years to come. I couldn't agree more. I think that duo of Lockett and Metcalf is a really nice receiver duo. You know, Lockett's got a lot of pace. Metcalf's got a lot of pace, but he's got the size that'd be that big red zone threat.
He's a man, isn't he?
he's all man.
And another big man, Marshawn Lynch was back.
Yeah, I mean,
I know he scored.
He scored, but yeah, he scored from one yard out, ironically. But realistically, you'd expect most running backs to be able to do that. I think at one point in the first half, he had 8 carries for 7 yards.
Well, I'm glad Paul is currently working, because we'd be
talking about inches.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, he certainly wasn't the beast mode that he was. No. You know, back in the day,
it was. I can't expect him to come in.
He's been out of the game for over 400 days. You can't expect someone just to rock up. Yeah, you might know the game plan, but you've got to have some level of game fitness as well.
Yeah, no. Should we move on to the number 2 pick in
seed?
Seed, sorry, I keep saying pick, which is Green Bay, who had a less than convincing win over Detroit.
I think that's putting it nicely.
23-20. It's the result that counts.
Yeah, I mean, they got the win, and that's what matters, and that solidified that second seed. But I don't think anyone on the Green Bay side of things would be happy with that result, because they had to come back. They scored 13 points in the fourth quarter to eventually win this with a last-minute Mason Crosby field goal. Aaron Rodgers did not look like Aaron Rodgers at all. He looked like David Blau, ironically.
Yeah, he did.
David Blau, 12 completions for 29 attempts. And you'd be like, yeah, it's David Blau.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, 27 completions for 55 attempts.
It could have been so comfortable. There were so many throws, like 2 throws in the end zone.
So many overthrows as well. I mean, that was, you know, okay, we've mentioned that the Green Bay receiving core it's not star-studded. Davante Adams and then a load of other guys. Yes, Alan Lazard has probably played better than most, and has probably cemented that number 2 receiver slot for Green Bay. But realistically, those kind of, well, the lack of completions on 55 attempts wasn't down to those receivers. A lot of the time it was down to Rodgers, and it was just inaccuracy. I would be worried if I was a Green Bay fan, I'd be happy that they've got a bye because they've now got 2 weeks to sort that out and figure out a game plan.
Yeah, they've got to figure it out for what looks like probably Seahawks.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah,
but a bye could be invaluable for them because it looks like a team that needs to have a sit down and a refig, really.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the other worrying thing for that game is that through three quarters the defense didn't show up either, and they really struggled to get to David Blau. They ended up with one sack on the night. But this isn't a good Detroit team. They're picking second in the draft next year for a good reason. You know, at the beginning of the year they were 3-3-1, but they've lost. They're now 3-12-1.
Yeah,
they're a bad team. I'm surprised that no one's talking about Patricia leaving. Apparently, he's now cemented in for 2020. So we'll see what happens. But
he's saved by the injuries.
I think so as well.
His own talent, but. He's due for a rookie start next year.
Yeah, I think it's his third year next year. He's going to have to kind of start fast, get some win. And it's not an easy division. Like the NFC North, there's two teams coming out of the NFC North for the playoffs. And realistically, the Bears are 8-8, but they've got a lot of talent on that roster to be better than that. It's just been a bit of a faux pas at the quarterback.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah. For the Packers, I guess you still got Davante Adams, who's looks back to form, mm-hmm. to fitness.
Yeah, definitely.
Which he's just incredible.
You also got Aaron Jones as well, still. So there's a good running.
Oh yeah,
elite Aaron Jones.
Yeah, elite Aaron Jones. But let's move over to the AFC, and as the Ravens have already. Booked out number one seed. We'll move on to the real story. Miami, New England. I've just realized this is why Mike's not here.
Oh, that's it. To be fair, he did say that,
he predicted this.
Patriots always lose to the Dolphins at some stage in the season.
It's never really usually in Foxborough.
No, it's normally in Miami. And to be fair, it was very sunny in Foxborough yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to kind of double check to see where they were playing because it looked like a bright day. It was probably freezing, but it looked like a lovely day in the Boston area.
It was Fitzmagic has now beaten the Patriots with every other team in the
that's brilliant
AFC North.
Belichick must hate him.
Well, I don't think anyone can hate him because even Mike was like. I'd be really angry if it wasn't for the fact that it's that smiling beard on the sideline has instigated this win.
Yeah.
And he was great.
He was great. And he's been great all season. I mean, he's not last year when he was with the Bucks, he was very entertaining. And both him and Winston, we'll come into later, were throwing touchdowns and throwing interceptions. This year, he's not throwing as many touchdowns because he's not got the cast of receivers that he had last year. But he's also not throwing as many interceptions. Yes, they were... been a couple, obviously. He's on a bad team at the end of the day, but him and Brian Flores have dragged that team away from what was the number one pick. We all, beginning of the year, they lost, they can see 50 points to the Ravens, 40 odd points to the Patriots. We and every other commentator on the NFL were lambasting Miami level of tanking and saying it's an embarrassment. The NFL needs to sort it out.
I think some of us were saying to chuck them out the actual league for the year because what's the point?
I remember memes going around saying they're the new XFL team.
Well, yeah.
Because they weren't good enough for the NFL.
And they've ended up with 5 wins?
Yep, 5-11. Which blows my mind. I mean, Coach of the Year always goes to a team that has got a winning record, and sort of rightly so. But you've got to say, Brian Flores has done a remarkable job.
He's not going to be Coach of the Year because he's 5-11. But it will go to Harbaugh or Shanahan. But it's a shame because he's done a great job. So. He might get the snap UK's Coach of the Year.
I think he might get that. He does some level of recognition he's managed to do.
He might get that certificate from us.
Yeah, because I mean, you look through his team, and this time last year, okay, yes, we'd recognise a couple of names, Fitzpatrick, Devontae Parker, who was brilliant again against, you know, a player who everyone was saying is going to be defensive player of the year, 137 yards off eight receptions. Absolutely took Stephen Gilmore apart. But yeah, back to my original point, you look through kind of the cast of characters they have, and on the defense, the leaders on in terms of tackles, Baker, Van Ginkel, Harris, Rowe, Needham, Colbert, Godshow, like these aren't not so much household names, that these aren't kind of, I think they're just like random generated names, as Paul
I'd
would
imagine
say.
Flores is having to, you know, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah. On the flip side, Brady looks old.
He looks old.
And he looks like he has an issue with his arm, because after a lot of throws, he was like just kind of shaking it off as if there was some sort of nagging injury there. And the offense just looks weak still. Like they had a couple of, you know, Sony Michel had 74 yards and a touchdown, but I mean, they've got to play the Titans now. I mean, that's the other thing, actually. They now don't have that bye because they lost this game and Kansas won. So it's their first wild card game in over 10 years.
This decade, yeah. Well, technically, because it was 2010. Yep. But yeah, it counts.
And they've got to play... yes, they're going to be in Foxborough, but they've got to play a good Titans team.
I want to play the Titans. I mean, you've got Tannehill playing for a job. You've got Derrick Henry now back to fitness.
Derrick Henry absolutely back to fitness. There's nothing wrong with him.
Nah.
We're going to come and talk to
him.
We'll come on to them. I think my money would be on the Titans. I mean, Patriots know how to win in the playoffs.
Yes, yeah.
So they've got that. But realistically, you can't... That offense is just not... great. They only managed to put 24 points on the Dolphins.
Yeah. And it's just the fact that defense isn't clicking now. And that's normally the monster that's blaring away that this part of the season. And it's not. So let's...
It'll be an interesting game. I am looking forward to that game. I think that's late Saturday night, unfortunately. Like, really late for our UK listeners.
I'm just looking up here. Oh, it doesn't tell me.
Why would it?
Yeah, damn app. It thinks I'm an Eagles fan, so it knows nothing. But yeah, we'll go through the schedule later. From that was the Chiefs. Wrapped up second place with a convincing win over the Chargers, 31-21.
The Chargers hung around in this game. It certainly wasn't, it wasn't like they were 31-0 up and they took out all their starters and the Chargers came back in garbage time. They kept them on their toes, but they did enough just to win. I mean, the Mecole Hardman punt return something else. There's a reason he's the Pro Bowl returner. He's had a great rookie season. Looks like almost like a mirror image of Tyreek Hill, which was quite scary.
God.
I think the other big thing from this game was the press conference that Philip Rivers gave afterwards, where
he looked
very emotional, I think is the word. And it looked like it was I've done my best. It's not been good enough. Well, we've done our best. It's not clicked.
Yeah. It's the end of an era, isn't it? But I don't think he's ready for it to be the end of the career.
Yeah.
But there's someone else from the same draft class having the same conversations.
I think Eli's being very... I presume you're alluding to Eli. I think he's been quite realistic about the situation, that he knows he's now not the number... he's not the starter. He doesn't want to go somewhere and be a backup. He's a two-time...
It's fair enough,
two-time Super Bowl winning MVP. Rivers, I think... I can't remember if it was me, you and Griff sat here and watched Red Zone last night. I can't remember. One of you said that he's... I think it was a very poetic phrase. Retirement's ready for Rivers, but Rivers is ready for retirement.
That wasn't me. That's far too poetic. But it seems... I feel for him because I think you've had a great career, you sort of would like to go out on your own sort of footing, and it's not, it's been taken from him.
Yeah.
But that's also not the Chargers' fault. You know, I think, and plus, you know, he's got 9 kids to support, you know.
Yeah, but you know,
he needs a job.
He's squirreled away some of the money he's made over the last, what was it, 14, 15 years. You think he's been in the league?
We
chatted about this last night. It's like, you know, the other two quarterbacks out of that class, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, both got 2 Super Bowl rings. You know, the 3 of them have got, you know, similar type stats. But you kind of... You'd nail on for Eli and Ben to go to the Hall of Fame just because they've got those 2 rings. Whereas Rivers is probably at his height, he was probably technically the better quarterback, but the lack of wins, especially playoff wins, and not really ever being close to Super Bowl is probably going to count against him. Yes, non-Super Bowl winning quarterbacks do get to the Hall of Fame. Dan Marino, the obvious one.
Yeah,
but I think it's going to be tough ask for him to get there.
He's not even. He's not really. He's never been to a Super Bowl. He's never really got. Like, I know you can say, "Oh, well, his stats are very similar to Eli," but it's just the rings. Yeah. You know,
no, it is. It's winning, isn't it? You look at most players in the Hall of Fame, and they're winners. Even if they haven't won a Super Bowl, they've either been to Super Bowls or you've been with teams that have been very close or very competitive, and they've been a big part of that. There's no doubt that Rivers has been a massive part of the Chargers. He'll be, you know, he'll probably be a Charger Hall of Fame. Or
That,
whatever the thing that teams do. But I can't imagine him being in Canton at the moment.
No, no, not really.
I can't imagine him being with. I can't think about another team that would want him.
No.
At the moment. I mean,
it's the same with... So we'll come on to be like... I can't imagine there's going to be another person, another team there that's going to be like, "So like, we'll give you a year," because they're just not good enough anymore.
No, absolutely.
Well, especially when there are other people available and probably much cheaper. So yeah. But we'll get onto that another time. Let's move on to the Titans.
Titans 35, Texans 14. Very realistic scoreline because the Texans had nothing to play for. They were nailed on for the third seed, so they took all their... Yeah, they rightly took all their starters out. They don't want to risk injury. They've had enough injury problems this year, like J.J. Watt going down.
Yeah.
Will Fuller's not been consistently fit through the whole season. He's so important to that offense.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's a safe decision. And actually, A.J. McCarron, who came in for Deshaun Watson, looked all right.
He looked all right.
Interception, but he also, you know, 21 out of 36 and 225 yards.
You did wonder how he keeps getting dropped for Peterman. Because he looked fine.
But on the other side, you know, Tannehill did Tannehill things. 13 from 20, 198 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. The guy's just bossing it.
He's got a contract to play for.
I think he's nailed on for that contract. But yeah, I mean, when it comes to defending this team, stopping the run is ultimately going to be the key to beating the Titans. Yeah. Derrick Henry had another stellar game, 211 yards, 3 touchdowns. So if your fantasy leagues are still playing in week 17, they shouldn't be. But if they are and you had him in your team, you probably won just off the back of him. But he is the NFL leading rusher for 2019.
Well deserved.
He overtook Nick Chubb right at the end. But the other person I want to speak about is A.J. Brown, the rookie wide receiver. And I think a very good bet for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
I think he's very quietly been very impressive. Yeah, really.
Over 1,000 yards.
How many touchdowns has he had? Because he seems to be scoring really regularly now.
Quite a few. I'm not sure how many he's had throughout the whole season. I'll look it up. But yeah, he's... I think there was one of these stupid stats. You know, when they kind of calculate what the percentage of likelihood of the pass catcher catching the pass and making a play, apparently he caught the pass which had the lowest chance of success throughout the whole season yesterday. I think He had two players on him. It was right in the corner. It was a long throw, and he just grabbed it. And that's what he's been doing throughout the whole season.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this season he has
He's got five games of over 100 yards.
Yeah, eight touchdowns this season, 1,050 yards, average of 20.2 yards.
There you go. Yeah.
Catch. That's decent. I mean...
Yeah, no, I can't think of anyone better offensively, really, so... Scary Terry's been good. DK Metcalf's been good.
I think Kyler Murray's been okay.
Yeah.
He's not kind of lit the world alight. He's been solid.
He's been what the Cardinals need.
Yeah, he's had some good games. He's had some bad games. But he's not kind of done that thing where he's come in as a rookie quarterback and absolutely dominated the league like, you know, Cam Newton or Andrew Luck did back in the day. But yeah, he's done a serviceable job. But I think AJ Brown probably gets my vote.
I think I'm with you there. So, but yeah, for the Texans, there's not really much to say because there was no one.
No, exactly. Titans did the job. They're in the playoffs. They're playing New England. I think they stand a very good chance.
They've already beaten them this year, haven't they?
Yeah.
So, they've been able to give Watson, in particular, a week off. New England just can't work out mobile quarterbacks. So, we'll do our picks at the end. Let's move back to the NFC. So there was still one division to fight for. It was the worst one, possibly in the history of time.
It's very close.
Yeah.
The NFC West back in
2011. I think, yeah, Seahawks
went through on 7-9 or something.
Losing
like that.
Record. Yeah. Eagles clinched it with a win over the Giants, 34-17. Fortunately for the Eagles, they've also had more injuries.
Unbelievable. At one stage, there was a queue to get into the tent to have their injuries checked out, sums up the Eagles season.
It's the fact that they've got through into the playoffs is such a mark for Pedersen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they've been beaten up. For two seasons now, they've been beaten up all over. And, like, Greg Ward started the game instantly out. Sanders was out. He was part of the queue for the blue tent.
Yeah.
And Graham. The guard.
Yeah. Well, one of the guards. I can't remember.
Is it Brooke? I can't remember his name.
One of the starting guards went down as well. But it was, again, almost like the Dolphins. You look down this list now of people, the receivers, and yeah, there's no one that you'd be picking in your fancy team at the start of the year. Last year you might have taken a chance on Dallas Goedert, but you know, Zach Ertz is the leading tight end there, so why bother?
If you took a chance, you'd realised it wasn't worth it.
No.
But he had a good game.
Yeah, four receptions, 65 yards and
some big catches.
Yeah. You mentioned Pedersen being, you know, up there again for coaching his team into the playoffs once again. But also, you know, Carson Wentz has had a very quiet but very good year. You know, a couple of years back when they won the Super Bowl, he was having an MVP season. He obviously got injured and it ruined finished him off for the season. And Nick Foles took over and got the job done. Last year, again, he had injuries. This year, I think there's a lot of question marks over the guy's fitness and whether he would be able to last the season. He's not only done that, he's dragged his team kicking and screaming into the playoffs. They haven't got a receiver that's had more than 500 yards this year.
Yeah, and he's got
over 4,000 yards passing.
I don't know how he's doing it, but...
The likes of kind of, you know, Boston Scott, Greg Ward. These are players that were on their practice squad, they've promoted from their practice squad. They haven't gone into kind of other, you know, picking up dodgy free agents. They've literally obviously built a culture which works well, and they just promote from their practice squad. And you know, Boston Scott looks like a decent little player.
He does. Of course, they did have London-born Jay Ajayi, but he's gone. He's been and gone again. But yeah, Boston Scott's come through. He looked really good. He's basically dragged them through the last few games because no one else has been fit. They're not a team you'd want to play usually, especially because it's being in Philly, but it is the Seahawks they've got. So,
yeah,
I used to playing outdoors. Who
used to playing in a loud, noisy, hostile type stadium themselves.
So it's probably the matchup they wanted least.
We'll talk about picks later, but that's a tough match for the Eagles.
Yeah, and unfortunately, yeah, the guard who went down, he's out for the playoffs as well. So it's just not falling right for the Eagles, which is a shame. But on the other side, it's the end of Shurmur.
Yep. So it was announced earlier today, it's Monday today, that he has been sacked. A little bit surprised that Dave Gettleman, the GM, also hasn't gone. You know, I think I put in our WhatsApp group earlier today, Pat Shurmur had a 9-23 record with the Browns and he had a 9-23 record with the Giants. So any teams looking to hire Shurmur, you know what you're going to get over 2 years.
I mean,
you're a Giants fan, happy with the decision or?
Yeah. I'd be happier if he and Gettleman went, because I think culturally we need to change. We'll see. I think we need to. I'd love to have a defensive coach come in, like, you know, Salah.
Yeah, I was gonna say Salah's getting a few requests for interviews. We'll come on to that in a bit. I did see a tweet from Albert Breer earlier today who said that there are some coaching candidates who won't want to go to the Giants because they don't want to work with Dave Gettleman.
Yeah.
And I mean, that says a lot. I'm not impressed with the level of talent on the Giants squad, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Offense, I think, you know, they've got some good pieces, but that offensive line is still questionable.
Yeah. The offensive line, there's pieces there. It just needs to be properly coached, I think, and still added to. The defense is just an absolute shambles, quite frankly. Defensive coordinator came in at the same time as Shurmur, has not really covered himself in glory. I can see
what it was versus, you know, before Shurmur came in, or actually the first year Ben McAdoo's
built on a really strong defense.
But there's players like, you know, Olivia Vernon was traded away, Landon Collins wasn't retained. Those are two important players. It's experienced players as well. Now there's not, I don't think there's a real leader on that defense at the moment.
I was saying to Mike, it's all great mentioning the draft. We need a Shurmur to come in as well to lead, because everyone around there is really young.
Yeah.
Harrison's has gone. Snacks, I think he's probably due to retire. There's just no leaders in the defense anymore. Ogletree, maybe, who's
been around a bit.
He's not an elite player.
No, he's not someone you look up to, or someone that walks into the dressing room, which kind of makes people kind of stand up or sit up a little bit straighter in the seats, because they've got that respect for. Not so much a Super Bowl winning player, but, you know, a player who's been in the league and is respected in the league and has done it all.
Yeah. And they don't grow on trees. And no. I also don't trust Gettleman to
find them.
So I think we're going to have a defence once again of young talent. And we weren't shit enough to get... I don't think we're going to be shit enough to get Chase Young.
No, I don't think you are, unfortunately. Come on to that a little bit later, but yeah, I think you'll be picking fourth.
Yeah, and I think no matter what happened this weekend, we were I think we were just set for fifth, right. 4-4. So,
we'll see what happens there.
We'll see.
It's my favourite time of the year, off season.
I love it. I can't wait.
Well, the team building aspect of the NFL is brilliant.
On the Cowboys side, big win, 47-16.
But with the Eagles winning, it didn't really matter what the Cowboys did. They knew they couldn't get through. 47-16, they quietly built that lead up. I was surprised to see that. I reminded myself before we started.
I sort of flicked over at the end and I was like, oh, oh, bloody hell. I didn't even, yeah. But, like, the Redskins, they're not a great team.
No, there's a reason they're looking for a new head coach in the offseason.
And more.
Yeah, and Bruce Allen was, well, they fought. Originally, the reports were he was going to be reassigned to a different position, but it came out later he's been let go. So he was the president of football operations, i.e. GM. Effectively the same type of responsibilities as a GM. And again, this is a team that just... we didn't really expect much from the Redskins, but I just... yeah, it's a meh.
Haskins was injured, wasn't he?
Haskins was injured. I think they'll build around Haskins next year. It looks like Ron Rivera is going to be going there as head coach. Yeah.
I did hear Urban Meyer as GM.
Some sort of GM, yeah, which interesting because you know, he's a coach. He's a coach.
Yeah.
But obviously from his days in the college game, he was very successful with Florida, he's very successful with Ohio State. He's obviously got a level of talent evaluation, which, you know, is something to be said, you know, but how he'll feel about a front office role where, you know, let's be honest with you, Ron Rivera is not the type of coach that's going to be accepting people middling in coaching.
Yeah, I was just thinking it sounds like a Coughlin Marone situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Which has not gone well.
No, I can't imagine Ron Rivera ever going there with that happening. I think he'll want to go somewhere where he does the coaching and has input into the player selection.
Who's the LA Rams
McVay.
Coach? McVay. I've got McAdoo in my head. if you got a McVay light, coach, I could understand it, but yeah, not with Rivera.
No.
But anyway, I keep looking. They have not fired Garrett yet.
No, rumor was that he was having a team meeting at noon today, and then he was due to meet with the Joneses later on today. Now, Jerry Jones doesn't have to fire Jason Garrett.
No,
because his contract ends on, I think, but his contract doesn't end until the 25th of January. So they obviously can't look to interview anyone past that. So there might be a bit of negotiation done between the two. In terms of like a little bit of a payout just to kind of see him off. But he has told his kind of assistant coaches that they are free to look for other roles. Everyone's saying that he's gone. You know, the Cowboys have never really, they've had maybe one season under his stewardship where they've looked like they were, you know, could potentially win the Super Bowl. But other than that, once the season started and once we kind of saw what was happening in the season, the writing was on the wall in terms of his contract just not getting renewed, and you know, rightly so. And there's a lot of talent on this team. You look at, okay, Dak Prescott is a good quarterback.
Yeah,
they've got a star running back in Zeke Elliott. They've got a star-studded offensive line which keeps Dak upright and kind of creates holes for Elliott to run through. And they've got two good receivers in Gallup and Cooper. And whether they can keep Cooper is a question. But, you know, Gallup has looked really good this year.
Gallup has looked great, but I think he needs Cooper, doesn't he? Because otherwise he's going to be...
if he gets double-teamed, he's not making as many receptions.
Yeah.
Does
Witten come back for another year?
I can't imagine. I think if Garrett's not there, then...
Probably, you know, yeah, I didn't think of that. But yeah, I was like, I hope he does, because I don't want him back on the commentary team.
I think after the experience he had, he probably won't want to be on the commentary team either.
Try coaching, Jason, if you're listening. You know, we do have Texas listeners, so if it's you, fuck off.
tell our listeners to go away. That's great.
Just Jason Witten.
All right, okay.
Actually, stay listening. Other than that, no playoff implications for this one.
No. But it was good all the same.
Let's... Falcons 28, Tampa Bay 22.
So, Jameis Winston came into this game needing... Jameis Winston came into this game with, 28 interceptions. And he was two interceptions off having 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions in the season. The first quarterback to ever do that. And, you know, he threw one interception in the first half and we got excited. Yeah. And it's like, this is why we're paying attention to this game. And it kind of, then he kind of almost turned into a reliable quarterback. And
yeah.
Started doing, you know, sensible things. And maybe he knew that record was creeping up on him and he probably didn't want that record. And why would you?
No. But he got, luckily, the gods of football gave us overtime and the Falcons baited him instantly.
I mean, what a way to do it as well, a pick six.
Yeah. He started his career with a pick six. He finished his rookie deal with a pick six. There's some beautiful Jameis symmetry.
End of the day, though, he got to 5,000 passing yards as well. The eighth player to now do that. That's not a very long list. And a lot of the other quarterbacks on that list are pretty decent.
Let's look, kid. I mean, if he had 50% less interceptions, he'd be...
That would be brilliant.
He'd be
30 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, 5,000 passing yards. You would take that and you'd pay him the $30 million that he wants.
Oh, yeah.
30 interceptions in a season.
Oh, I mean, it's a hard ask.
It's a hard ask to then go... I mean, he's got some balls in him to go to Bruce Arians and the GM and say, yeah, I'd like $30 million a year. I mean, what's Fitzpatrick worth or what's Tannehill worth?
Well, that's it. It's a strange market to think. There's the famed Russell Wilson money. They want Wilson money. And sure, but you should be asking, I want Wilson performances. And, very few guys are giving Russell Wilson performances. I mean, even, like, Rodgers, I think was the highest paid.
Yeah.
I think it might be this coming season, the highest paid. And even he's had a downturn.
They've had a winning season, but it's not been the Rodgers of, like, 2014.
We
know and love.
But, yeah, I don't know how he's going to...
I think they will agree a new deal.
They'll get something.
He is the type of quarterback which he has got a big arm.
Yeah. Right?
He can launch it down the field. And that's what Arians loves that. And that's why he worked so well with Carson Palmer in Arizona. But I think this will be a short-term deal. I think it'll be laden with incentives, i.e. Yeah. don't throw this many interceptions.
And escapes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think... You know, they'll give him another season, and if it's still going badly, I think there'll be an out after a season.
Oh, yeah, same as. I agree. But for the league's sake, it's great.
It was brilliant.
Because he is, he's entertaining.
Yeah.
Whether it be great, because, you know, or whether it be the other side of Jameis, I love it.
He's been doing it with the last couple of weeks as well. He's been getting those passing yards without Chris Godwin, without Mike Evans. Rashad Perriman had 134 yards, and he's just looked amazing.
Yeah.
Suddenly. So, you know, let's give Hendon credit.
And he's got nothing at running back. He gets some good touchdown stats from his tight ends, but they're nothing great. OJ Howard and Cameron Bray. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, if they could give him a David Johnson of 2 years ago,
yeah,
then that could be quite a scary team.
Yeah,
because the defense is getting better. Devin White got a incredible pick six of his own.
He retrieved the fumble, didn't he? And then
that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was one of those times we applauded the referees for not blowing the play dead.
Yeah.
Because we weren't sure if it was forward, if Ryan had thrown it, was there any forward motion in the pass? And there may have been, but they didn't overrule it. And I think that was the right decision. So fair play to the refs on that one. We criticise them a lot. I think we should praise them.
Yeah, exactly. Well done, guys. Just the rest of you were rubbish.
Yeah.
Falcons quietly. Impressive end of the year. Since the bye, they changed the coaches, and they've been as good as you'd expect the Falcons to be, really.
They finished the season 7-9, which, you know, start before the bye, if you'd have given Dan Quinn 7-9, he probably would have bitten your hand off. I think he has saved his job.
Yeah.
I thought he was a goner, quite frankly, and it still wouldn't be a massive shock if they changed their mind and said, no, we're going to get rid of him. But I think he'll be given another season. Thomas Dimitrov, the GM, is also going to get another season. I think they need to focus on that defense. I think the offense is fine.
Offense is like, I'd like to see a running back to complement Devontae Freeman.
Yeah.
But other than that, I
think they need to really up the pass rush on that defense. You know, and also their backfield as well. Actually, the whole defense. Like, they've got some good pieces. They have suffered injuries, so it'll be interesting to see what they do. I think they can go into the draft wherever they're picking, and they can literally just pick the best player available.
Yeah. No, that's and as well, we need to talk about the fat guy touchdown.
Oh, that was brilliant,
Sam Bailo, the longest ever fat guy touchdown, offensive line touchdown,
35 yards.
He's the seventh player weighing 300 pounds of a receiving touchdown this year, which is the most since 1995.
I mean, these players, when a tackle or when a defensive player comes into the offense, you know, you see them trundle up to the referee and go, right, I'm an eligible receiver. And, you know, the referee has an announcement made over the stadium that, you know, number 72 is an eligible receiver. It's a weird number for a receiver. and you don't expect them to be serious. You expect them to be an extra blocker on the line for whatever play is going on. And then suddenly he's free, he's down the field, and he's got the ball in his hand, and he's running, fat guy running. And he made it to the end zone.
Trundling.
Yeah.
My favourite thing is whenever an offensive lineman scores, is the rest of the offensive line go off their
just
tits.
Love it, yeah. Rightly so.
But like, it's another game with implications off the pitch. Browns, Bengals, I mean, just 33-23 to the Cincinnati.
The Cincinnati.
And Kitchens has gone.
Rightly, Kitchens has gone.
He didn't last the night.
No, he didn't, did he?
No, he was. I don't think he even lasted the night in England. I think he was gone by midnight.
Potentially.
First of the Black Monday sacrifices, and fair enough. I can't
disagree with that at all. I think with the end of last season, where the Browns were, they're on a bit of an emotional high with, you know, Greg Williams coming in, and I think kind of Glenn Dorsey didn't want Greg Williams as a head coach, but, you know, he had to have him as an interim one, and there was that whole kind of emotional, we're moving in the right direction. Yeah. So let's promote from within. Let's give it to someone that Baker gets on well with and who has got experience with the offense. Freddie Kitchens got the job, and we all said, okay, it's interesting. Let's see how it goes. Then they made the move for Beckham, and, you know, brought in Olivia Vernon onto the other side of the defensive line. Kind of sacrificed their offensive line as well, though. But they went, I mean, there's never been as much hype for probably any team coming into the season as there was the Browns coming into this season. And quite frankly, you know, to quote a phrase we've used very often this year, they shit the bed.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
There's been problems on field, you know, utilising the players to their full extent. I don't think we saw the best from Beckham. I don't think we saw the best from Baker Mayfield. Nick Chubb had a good year, but, you know,
I still think he could have given more.
Jarvis Landry, I think, has been brilliant, but only because he is a great player. I don't think he's been schemed in the right way.
No, not at all.
The defense has been a bit of a shambles, really. Denzel Ward was brilliant last year. He's not really done much this year. Miles Garrett whacked someone over the head with his helmet. There's been disciplinary issues, both on the field, where they've given away so many penalties, it's not true, but also off the field with rumors of Beckham saying, get me out of here, rumors of Jarvis Landry saying, get me out of here. Freddie Kitchens wearing that stupid t-shirt to the cinema saying Pittsburgh started it.
Don't do that as
a head coach. You set an example. And I think, you know, the next head coach needs to be someone who like we're saying with the New York Giants defense, it needs to be a head coach that walks in there and people go, oh, shit, yeah, he's in the room.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. They've got quite a few on the short list from the sounds of it.
Yeah.
So I know McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator for New England.
Salah.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer has been mentioned. Mike McCarthy.
I think it needs to be a Mike McCarthy type coach. I mean, I'm not saying Mike McCarthy is the right person, but that person who's been there, done it, you know, got the T-shirt, sorry, Freddie, the other T-shirt, and who has experience managing big personalities. There's not many bigger personalities than Aaron Rodgers, so maybe that's another string to his bow. Someone who is, you know, offensively minded, they've still got a lot of, you know, all those players are going to be there next season, providing they don't trade them away. I don't think they will.
No. Nope.
So yeah, it needs to be someone who's who can just come in there and command the respect and command the everyone just sitting down, shutting up, and listen to me kind of thing.
Yeah. Plus, Dorsey and McCarthy have worked together before, haven't they?
In Green Bay.
So that might be a good thing. I heard Landry talking to, today, because he was basically last night before the announcement was made. Of course, they were asking him, you know, do you think Kitchens has gone? He's like, it's not my call, which is a very PR-friendly way of saying, yes.
It's not my call, isn't I love playing for this coach, I hope he stays.
Yeah, no.
And Dorsey's had a couple of occasions where he's been asked similar questions and he's not gone in with a, he's the coach, that's it, we're staying. He's been very coy in his responses.
Yeah, I think from the sounds of it, Kitchens was surprised. He thought he had the backing, and then it turns out, no, he didn't.
I mean, yeah, the owners, the Haslams, I think this will be the seventh or eighth head coach in not many years. 2012, yeah. I think they took over their franchise. It's their second coach who's going one and done. Let's face it, Hugh Jackson should have been one and done.
Hugh Jackson. And I think that will scar them as well, because I think if you have a bad first year, knowing that the fact that, well, we gave the guy that, in 16, we gave him another chance. It's just gonna bug you forever, and it's gonna
make them question themselves. But I think they did make the right decision this time.
I think they have. And Landry's been saying he wants someone to come in and like control the dressing room, control, and which I think is probably showing that he, you know, Kitchens had lost the dressing room.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah. Should we go through the rest of the games? Because a lot of them... So Saints-Panthers, do you want to...
Saints, you know, Alvin Kamara suddenly turned up.
Yep.
Fuck you, Alvin Kamara. Sorry, context, he was on my fantasy team. He was the second pick in our draft. I had a choice between him and Christian McCaffrey. I chose Alvin Kamara. It was the wrong decision with hindsight, and he cost me a place in the playoffs.
Yep.
But... he's now turned up, and he's looking really good.
He's
running well. He's now getting a few passes and moving well. So, yeah, it doesn't bode well for whoever the Saints are playing in the playoffs.
But I was amazed they kept the starting line quite so long, quite frankly.
Breeze stayed in there for pretty much the whole game. And Bridgewater only had one snap, I think.
Yeah. Which is a shame, because he needed another touchdown to get a $250,000.
Maybe that's why.
Possibly.
Maybe that's... But yeah, 42-10. Look, Panthers already sacked their coach, so...
Their season was over.
Carl Allen, Will Greer aren't starting quarterbacks, so let's... I think kind of Cam Newton's going to be coming back and staying. McCaffrey, 1,000 yards receiving and 1,000 yards rushing now.
Yeah.
He got that. Good job to him. Interesting. Kamara and McCaffrey on the same team together.
But
he's been a standout player for most of the year. I think he's gone quiet the last few weeks, but realistically, this is a team heading nowhere. So
exactly. And with Lamar, the fact that just the rest of the team, he had no chance of being offensive player of the year.
Yeah,
it's a shame, because he probably is.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the top five running backs in the league.
But yeah, he's without the rest of the team, it doesn't help. Where should we go next? Raiders, Broncos. Broncos got the win. Raiders were already out.
16-15. They went for a two-point conversion right at the end, and they didn't get it. But I think at that point, John Gruden knew what the writing on the wall was.
Yeah.
You know, let's just go for it and see what happens. Yeah. If we win, we win. If we don't,
exactly.
No real harm.
It's for the Raiders, good end of the good year. Not in their good end of the year, but a upturn from last year. And bodes well for going into the new stadium.
Yeah, Broncos, I think it's another 1,000-yard rushing season for Philip Lindsay. Drew Lock had, you know, quietly another decent game. 177 yards, touchdown, no interceptions. Cortland Sutton, I think, has been brilliant this year.
Superb.
Superb receiver. I think, you know, watch out for him next year. On the Raiders side, actually, I've been really impressed with Hunter Renfrow the last few weeks.
Same as.
He doesn't look like an NFL player. Was it during Hard Knocks where they show pictures of him versus every other receiver and he looked like your average Joe?
But he's got a connection with Carr. Yeah. So I think, well, providing Carr stays, you never know.
I was
going to
say, do you think Carr still be there next year? I think he will be.
I think he will be.
Just, you know,
but I've been surprised by what the Raiders do before. So
yeah, that's very true.
So we'll see.
They've got another couple of picks in the first round. So let's see what happens there.
Vikings safe in the playoffs, but ended up losing to the
Vikings
Bears.
Reserves, wasn't it?
Yeah, which is fair enough because Cook especially got an extra week off. Boone came in, did all right.
148 yards.
Yeah,
that's pretty decent.
It's a backup team and Chicago.
I think the Bears
end eight and eight.
Get us the off season as quickly as possible. We're 8-8 actually is pretty decent considering, you know, the troubles they've had at quarterback. They got a decision to make over Trubisky. I'd quite like to see them give him another year.
I think he deserves another year.
Last year, I think he was okay to good. This year he's been bad to okay.
I think Nagy needs to work more on the scheme. I think if they can mask his deficiencies, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah.
I still think they missed Jordan Howard. Jets 13, Bills 6. Gase.
Pouring rain in
the holy horrible conditions.
Horrible weather, hence the low score line.
Ficken got him but I think that's all I can say. There wasn't really much to talk about in this game.
Jets have been, I think since Darnold came back, the Jets have been 7-5 with Darnold.
Yeah,
so
since his mono.
Yeah. I think that's probably saved Gase's job. Again, I'm not impressed with Gase as a head coach, so it wouldn't be a shock if they came out and fired him. I don't think they will. So let's see what happens next year with a fully fit Sam Darnold.
Should you mention Steelers Ravens? Because it was the backup once again.
Yeah,
didn't really matter. But Ravens 28, Steelers 10. I mean, Steelers didn't make the playoffs, which is fair enough. Tomlin.
Done
really well.
Yeah, I mean, it's another candidate for Coach of the Year in terms of what he's been able to do with that cast of characters. Duck Hodges, 9 completions, 25 attempts, 95 yards.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Steelers are 8-8. That's really good for what they've got. They've got a good defense. You know, if Ben Roethlisberger does come back next year, which apparently he will, they can strengthen the team around him. They've got a couple of running backs in Benny Snell and James Conner. They've got some good receivers now in terms of Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson, who signed a new deal. Vance McDonald's is still a good tight end. So they're not going to be a million miles away from competing in this division.
But yeah.
And they've got a great defense as
that's
well.
That's it. And Mike was saying on Sunday, like, how many wins is Roethlisberger worth? And I don't know if you can, but I think they'd have won 2 more games at least with Roethlisberger.
I think they probably would have beaten the 49ers with Roethlisberger. Remember, the 49ers turned the ball over 5 times in that game and still won. Games like that and some of the closer games where, you know, they've just been an interception away or a stupid play away.
I mean, it is Ben. Ben does have games where he does have a Hodges type performance. So you can never be too sure, but they were so close.
RG3's first start in 3 years, though, and he was doing RG3 things.
He was Lamar light.
Yeah. Eight carries of 50 yards, though, so pretty decent. And also, actually, the Ravens broke the record for the most rushing yards for a season, a team rushing yards for a season, which doesn't surprise
anyone. No, not at all.
It surprised me that that record has lasted so long. I think the Patriots for 1978 or 79.
Okay.
There were two less games then as well.
The league has changed a bit since then. But
quite a bit, yeah.
Gus the Bus was still fine, giving, letting Ingram have a week to recover. But that's fair enough. It is what it is.
Rumour has it there's a bit of a flu-like bug doing the rounds of the Ravens team at the moment, but they've got 2 weeks to get over
They'll be fine. Cardinals, Rams, 24-31 to the Rams. Rams end at 9-7. But
it's a winning record. I mean, that's three winning seasons for McVay in three. It's not the season they wanted, obviously, following a Super Bowl appearance last year.
Is it the season they need? Because I think maybe a humbling might be good for him.
Bit of a wake-up call. I think the defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips, has question marks over whether he'll return. Look, he came in on the first year, and I think that was great for McVay to have someone with that level of experience. Now McVay's got more experience now. He can bring in someone slightly younger who's going to be a few fresh ideas coming into that defense, because the defense hasn't been the same as it was last year.
No, the defense has really been lacking, quite frankly.
The offense has been better the last few weeks. They seem to have found their way. Tyler Higbee has been brilliant the last 4 to 5 weeks. Another good game, 8 receptions, 84 yards and a touchdown.
He needs to earn that paycheck because it's a big one.
McVay didn't really use a tight end a lot the first two seasons. I think he needs to, if he's got a tight end that can do that, will put up those sort of numbers, he needs to be game planning around that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Hopefully, we'll see more of Gurley next year. Who did... Still doesn't look fit.
No, he had 20 carries, 68 yards. And we commented it when we watched him. He didn't look as explosive as Todd Gurley being last year, beginning of last year. He had one run through the Arizona team. He just looks sluggish.
Yeah, I think, he really needs to just the end of the year.
Yeah. Be really keen to see how Kyler Murray progresses through the offseason.
Yeah.
Another offseason, a season under his belt. Hasn't got the pressure. He's still number one pick, but he hasn't got the pressure of coming in as a rookie. He knows the system a bit better. They'll strengthen around him as well.
Now, if they could give him some more options, then he'd be...
At a better offensive line.
God, yeah. but there's a... It feels like progress for the Cardinals. Once again, five wins, 5-10-1. It's progress.
It's an improvement from last year.
Exactly. Well, it could get much worse. And last but not least, Colts 20, Jaguars 38, Minshew magic and all that.
You love it, don't you?
The thing is, he's all right. He's a fair to middling quarterback.
He has outplayed Foles.
Yeah.
Okay, he came in because Foles was injured, but when Foles did come back into the starting lineup,
he was sacrificed, wasn't he?
Yeah.
For Minshew.
Minshew's looked decent. I mean, he had a good game. 27 completions from 39 attempts, 295 yards, 3 touchdowns and an interception. And the Colts' defense isn't terrible.
Nope. Their rushing game was once again great. A disappointing end to the season for them.
Yeah, I think there'll be question marks about the Colts over this year. Okay, yeah, they got... They kind of had the rug pulled out from under them when Andrew Luck retired, and quite close to the start of the season. They gave Jacoby Brissett a 2-year contract, which is the right thing to do.
Exactly.
But I think I wouldn't be surprised to see the Colts take a quarterback fairly high in the draft this year.
Same, yeah.
Maybe kind of second, third round, like a player they can kind of...
Bit mould.
Yeah, exactly.
But... Anyway, we'll see. But that is the regular season done. So, should we talk playoffs?
Yeah, we should.
Saturday and Sunday, we've got some games. I'm just trying to get a schedule up.
Well, Saturday, I think, is the AFC. So Texans will be hosting the Bills. I think that's the first game. And then New England hosting the Titans in the late game. Two tough games to call, really.
Yeah.
Because I think... I do, like I said earlier, I do think the Titans will give the Patriots a really tough game. And that is, I think that could be a coin toss game, to be honest with you.
Same. Is the Titans. I'm going to go with Titans.
Yeah.
I think I think but I would tight. As well. It could be, it could come down to. Kicking.
Yeah. The only thing I will say, the Titans' defense probably isn't as good as it was earlier in the season.
No.
But Mike Vrabel, head coach of the Titans, he's an ex-Patriot. He was on the Patriot playing team. He was on the Patriot coaching staff for a while. They've beaten them once before.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if Griff was here, he'd be saying Titans are going to win this hands down.
Well, it's his second favorite team.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see Tannehill and Henry go through to the next round.
Yeah,
Bills Texans, another. I mean, it's playoffs, so they're all going to be tight. I'm going to go Bills. I don't know why. Just I think the defense is
very
out.
Good. I'm going to go with the Texans because A, they're at home. I think giving them a week off. The Bills had a week off more or less as well.
Yeah.
They started most of their backups. I just think the Texans... I think Carlos Hyde is quite key. If they can get a running game working...
Yeah.
If Will Fuller's fit as well, that's a big plus. Because then you've got to guard Will Fuller and you've got to guard DeAndre Hopkins. And I don't think there's a cornerback who can more or less keep DeAndre Hopkins out.
Not at all.
And, you know, so... the AFC are two really tight games. You know, you look at the two seeded teams, Ravens and Chiefs, you would not be surprised to see them in the AFC Championship game. Whereas in the NFC, when you throw in the 49ers, the Packers, and then you throw in the Seahawks and the Saints, and even the Vikings, I think, could cause an upset. You know, it's not as clear. I don't think it's as clear cut in the NFC as it is the AFC.
Yeah. No. Okay. We'll get the others to give their predictions as well before the weekend. So on Sunday, the early game is Vikings Saints in Mercedes Superdome.
Saints are 13-3 and haven't got a bye.
Yeah, ridiculous, isn't it?
I wish I'd done the research to look into how many 13-3s have gone into wildcard. But I mean,
we'll do it. And we'll put it on Twitter.
Yeah, because there can't be many.
No, it's faintly ridiculous, quite frankly. Yeah. But of course, this is where the Minnesota Miracle.
At this stage, It was in Minnesota. Obviously.
But It was this game where Stephon Diggs jumped this bizarre tackle. I don't see a repeat.
No, I don't. I also, you know, let's remember it's Kirk Cousins in a primetime game.
Of course, it's
Sunday evening. Well, and it will be Sunday lunchtime in the States, so that doesn't class as a primetime, but it's playoffs.
It's playoffs.
And it's the whole country watching him. And he...
Chokes.
Chokes.
Yeah. Quite frankly,
looking forward to the game. Actually, like the AFC, I think this could be an interesting game to watch.
Cook and Kamara as well, the two of the best running backs. On potential, because Kamara hasn't really been that good this year.
No, he hasn't.
But you know,
he's turned it on the last few weeks. Though.
Yeah. He's waited for your playoff season.
He's waiting for my fantasy.
My ESPN league only finished this week.
I had an ESPN league that finished this week as well, which I thought was bizarre.
Yeah, I'm playing two legged games.
Yeah, if you had Deshaun Watson as your quarterback this year, you'd be pissed, and you were in the final, you'd be bloody fuming.
I did.
Yeah, there we go. As it happens, all in Marge accent.
Yep. So yeah, well done me. I had I had Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson for my fantasy quarterbacks. Well done me. Anyway.
Sunday night,
Seahawks in Philadelphia at the Eagles. I know it's like no one ever wants to go to Philly, but the team best cut out to play Philly is the Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean they've both got some injury worries, but the Eagles have a lot more injury worries.
Yeah, I think Mike is actually out in Philly. He's
live reporter.
He's trying out for cornerback.
No, right. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me because I don't think they've got any cornerbacks.
No.
And I think with the two receivers, like we mentioned earlier, that the Seahawks have got, and Russell Wilson's ability just to escape any type of pressure and make a play, my money would be on the Seahawks.
Yeah. Is Sanders... Is he in out for the game? Or I haven't seen anything about him.
No, I've not heard anything. So, I mean, we'll see.
But that if no Sanders as well, then it's
Boston Scott.
Boston Scott's fine, but if it had Boston Scott and Miles Sanders, then we want to at least give someone for Wentz to throw to.
Yeah.
It seems the most cut and shot one. So of course, expect the upset now.
Absolutely.
But yeah, and of course, yeah. To there, then we'll have the big boys back the week after, but we can go into that at the time. We have a draft order.
Yeah, so we now, with the end of the regular season, with 12 teams now confirmed into the playoffs, we've got the draft order of the first 20 picks of the first round. So this is already confirmed, but the Bengals, number one pick, very likely to be Joe Burrow, who had another amazing game at the weekend for LSU.
I only saw his first half stats, and I didn't realize there were first half stats until because five touchdowns and 400 yards.
That was just in the first half. He ended with, I think, 7 passing touchdowns and 1 rushing touchdown. There'll be some knocks on him because he was a transfer from Ohio State to LSU. He's only had one season playing. But his pocket presence is, it's brilliant. In terms of, how we speak about kind of Breeze and Brady, how they just shift and move in the pocket to avoid the rush. You're seeing that type of movement from Burrow, so I think that'll be good. That'll be, he's pretty much nailed on for number one pick. Anyway, Chase Young is going to be going to the Redskins, who picked second. So, Montez Sweat actually had a really good game for the Redskins yesterday. So, Montez Sweat one side, Chase Young the other side, and 2 Alabama defensive tackles, Dayron, I can't remember his name. That's annoying, but yeah. Oh my God, Jonathan Allen would be the other defensive tackle. That's now that could be a really stout pass rush. Detroit picking 3, New York Giants 4, Miami with their first pick at 5, very likely to be a quarterback, very likely to be Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
Chargers picking 6, again, this could be another quarterback pick. Justin Herbert out of Oregon has been touted there. Carolina 7, Arizona 8, Jacksonville 9, Cleveland 10, Jets 11, Raiders first pick is number 12. Remember, they've got 2.
Of course, yeah.
Colts 13, Tampa Bay 14, Denver 15, actually lower than what they would have thought. Atlanta 16, Dallas 17, and then Pittsburgh would have been picking 18, but their first pick went to Miami for the Fitzpatrick trade. Chicago 19, but that goes to Raiders for the Mac trade from last year. And the Rams 20, but that goes to Jacksonville for Jalen Ramsey. So that's your first 20 confirmed. Like I said, you can go online now. You can already get mock drafts.
Yeah.
I think one site had the mock draft 4.0 already. Brilliant.
Great. Well, I look forward to it because the draft is my favourite time of the year. It's
mine too.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Yeah.
I don't need the games.
Just like the team building.
Oh yeah. I want I want the management.
Yeah.
I want a championship manager, but I want like a GM.
That would be brilliant.
Like, they should incorporate that into Madden.
Yeah, EA, Madden, where you don't have to play the games. You just have to do the team management, exactly, and hire coaches. EA, what are you playing at?
Come on, man. Yeah. I believe if you have Madden on the PC, you can do that. But I don't play.
Guess what I'm doing tonight?
Yeah. Well, there you go. I'll look it up. That's it, though. I think for us, we hope you have a good new year, and we'll see you in 2020.
Probably hear you. Well, you'll hear us.
You'll hear us in 2020. Have a good one.
Happy New Year.
Bye.